Hi, and welcome to this month's episode of Engineering Greatness, an original podcast series produced by the American Five Grid Institute. I am Kamran Emili. I'm a senior material engineer with Atlas Consultant, currently enjoying living in sunny California. I worked as a consultant engineer at CTO Group, and prior to that, as a quality control manager at Titan America in Florida. And I have finished my PhD at Iowa State University, and I received my master's degree from Cleveland State University. With me today is Dr. Gabriel Arce, and I would hand it to you, Gabriel.
Thank you very much, Cameron. My name is Gabriel Arce. I'm currently a research scientist at the Virginia Transportation Research Council, VTRC. Previously was a research assistant professor at Louisiana State University. And yeah, welcome to the podcast. Let's begin by discussing a little bit and talking about our backgrounds.
So thank you, Gabriel. Actually, I would love to hear from the beginning, what inspired you to pursue the field of engineering?
Yeah, thank you, Cameron. That's a great question. I think for me, early on in high school, I was always a very curious person. I wanted to know how things work. When I had my physics class, I was very excited about how through physics you can describe so many and understand so many phenomena. Mathematics was not necessarily something I adore, but I could deal with it. So I think it was natural to me that I wanted to pursue science or engineering. Also, I came from a family of engineers. So I think in that end, it was a bit natural to me. Yeah. What about you, Cameron? What brought you to this interesting field?
For me, it was a little different, actually. As a kid, I think I'm a little more visual person. As a kid, I've always been fascinated with these tall buildings and bridges and all these roads. And I've always been fascinated with them. And I wanted to be the one building them, not just the one using them. And civil engineering was basically the perfect blend of creativity and practicality. So where at the end, you could say, when something is built, you can say, this is my vision. That was the initial motive. But as I grew up and I got older, understanding that my work could contribute to the society, it was also incredibly motivating for me. That's pretty much how I got into engineering. Although when I started school, I started enjoying math and physics. I really liked math and physics also. But so why higher education? Tell us, Gabriel, about your journey for higher education and what led you to the universities where you got your degrees, and why Cambridge?
Thank you very much. Yeah, and by the way, it's very nice of you. Early on, you knew you wanted to be a civil engineer. You knew you wanted to build bridges. In my case, though, I liked science and engineering. I really didn't know specifically what. It's interesting that I always knew my life was going to be related to concrete. My family, I mentioned, is a family of engineers, but my family owned a ready-mix concrete company in Guayaquil, Ecuador, where I'm from. It doesn't exist anymore, but anyways, I grew up at that time with this. And I remember ever since I was a little kid, I was playing in aggregate piles, going to laboratories, concrete laboratories, and I knew I love concrete. And I started my studies at ESPOL University in Ecuador. And in the beginning, I started with industrial engineering, which I guess I was thinking at that time, maybe I will work in the concrete field, more in the quality control type area. But soon I realized that I wanted more engineering. And I remember I took a class in material sciences, and I was absolutely captivated, and I wanted more of that. Later on, I changed to mechanical engineering. Later, when I was about to finish my second year in college, I applied to this university in Ecuador had an agreement with the University of New Orleans in the United States. And I applied, I got a scholarship, and I decided to transfer there. And it was really exciting. As soon as I arrived there at New Orleans, interestingly, I changed to civil engineering finally. I guess I was destined to that in a way. And it was the right choice. And so again, my family background led me to always be interested in concrete. I didn't know through which engineering to be related to concrete, but eventually it led me to civil engineering. How does your undergraduate career
Actually, let me get back to the previous question. So when I was a kid, I would call it when anybody asked me, what do you want to do when you grow up? I would be like, I want to be a building engineer. What is a building engineer? I didn't know the name is civil engineer or the translation, whatever it is, but it was like, I want to build buildings. That was the idea. That's where I wanted to be. But that's an amazing journey, Gabriel, going from industrial engineering, mechanical engineering to civil engineering, getting back to the roots and knowing that you got some roots in the concrete industry and getting back there. That's amazing. I'm glad you made that decision, honestly. For me, actually, that I wanted to do higher education. I wasn't sure I wanted to do a PhD. But when I was doing my undergraduate studies, there was a competition to get into to become a member at the research center. And I was like, yeah, that's something I want to do. I joined the competition. I got in. I became a member of the research center, and I started working on some concrete-related research projects at the time. That's where, actually, I feel like something woke up in me, the feeling that you have to find the gaps in the body of the knowledge. So what is missing? And then you have to come up with the experimental program. How to find the answers to those questions, that curiosity, I kept going. It just motivated me to keep going and find the answers. So that was a great feeling. But on the other hand, this was this material that was called concrete, and everybody thought it's just aggregate, cement, and water. So you add them together and you have something and you build building with that. But when you do research on it, when you do a study on it, you know how complicated that is. I mean, basically, it feels like sometimes it's a live material and it's always changing. So that, again, moving forward, it became a comfort zone. I became obsessed with concrete, and I just wanted to know more and more about concrete. So that's basically how it started for me. And when I finished my undergrad, I know that I wanted to continue doing research. I knew that I loved concrete, so I wanted to continue working on the concrete. So I started applying to different universities in Europe, Canada, United States, and even Australia. And I was lucky to get admitted to Cleveland State and a couple more universities. But again, it wasn't about the brand of the university. It was about who I'm going to work with and what I'm going to work on. I was fortunate. I started working with Dr. Norbert Dillard at Cleveland State University. And after finishing my master's degree, I got the fellowship from the 5 years with some PCA fellowship, and I joined Iowa State University working with Dr. Hallie Jelan and Dr. Peter Taylor. So that was the next step. And to be honest, best times of my life. I really enjoyed my time in graduate schools. So that's it. That's how I got into concrete, and that's how I ended up getting a PhD degree.
That's very interesting. In my end, I told you I went to the University of New Orleans. I did my undergrad there. But then how I get into grad school, I always wanted to learn more, especially about concrete. So after I graduated from my undergrad, I went back to Ecuador. I was working with my family in the ready-mix business, learning a lot. And I immediately started applying for a master's degree. But one of my friends in the University of New Orleans, he started a master's degree at Louisiana State University under the supervision of Dr. Marwa Hassan, which was working in this very exciting project on self-healing concrete. And he immediately reached out to me and said, "Hey, Gabriel, you're perfect to work in Dr. Hassan's lab. I'm sure she'll be thrilled to have you." So I applied, and thankfully, Dr. Marwa Hassan offered me the assistantship, and I went back to college in the United States, did my master's degree. And during that time, I really enjoyed research, but I never, ever thought about doing a PhD. And Dr. Hassan basically would really try to convince me, "You should do a PhD. You're talented. Please do the PhD." And funny enough, it was little by little, I think she convinced me. And finally, I decided to do it. It was the best decision of my life. Similar to you, I really enjoyed it. Of course, I'm sure you probably face also many challenges. It's a lot of work. Sometimes you can get really frustrated when things don't work out the way you think they will. But it was an amazing growth experience. And yeah, I'm glad I did it.
Absolutely, I agree. And actually, interestingly, such a small word, when I was applying for a master degree coming to the States, I remember I was communicating with Dr. Hassan. And she was like, yeah, I may have the position for you. So we were continuing the conversation. But at the end, I think you took my position. You, we could be colleagues. So I remember that at the time I was going to the States. I moved to the States in January 2013. But I think you moved to the States a little later, or maybe the next
year. It was in 2014 that I did. I think probably the timing didn't work right, because I think she got the grant that ultimately led to my hiring a little bit later, I think in late 13. But that's incredible. Like, such a small world.
That's amazing. Yeah, actually, it could be college. And I'm glad, actually, that there has convinced you to do your PhD. So it's great. Yeah. But yeah, you are right. During these times, that's a journey. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if you enjoyed it as well. But there were a lot of challenges at the beginning. But one thing that I was lucky is that I had mentors that who told me, actually, the first time I met Dr. Taylor, it was in PCC Lab at Iowa State University. And that was my first day. So we had a conversation there. And what he told me was, he prepared me. He prepared me. He told me the first 6 months or 12 months, you're going to be miserable. You're just going to be reading and reading. You wouldn't know what's going on. You need to figure things out. So don't hate yourself for that. This is the process. So if you feel that way, that's normal. And I was ready for that. I felt that I was miserable for 6 months, and I had no idea what's going on. But every time I was thinking about it, all right, this is the normal feeling. I'm in the right way. I'm still not out of the track. So I'm still on the right trail. So that really helped me, having a mentor like that.
That's great. No, that's so valuable. He prepared you. That's great.
That was a very big lesson for me. Not just in the career and everything. It's just in life, right? Whatever step you take, you gotta know what to expect, because there are a lot of ups and downs, and you have no idea what's gonna happen. And if you don't have anybody to show you the way, to tell you this is how it's supposed to be, this is how you're going to feel, it could be very challenging. And I've taken that lesson. I implemented everywhere I can, honestly. So that's it. But interesting journey for you, Gabriel. What about your professional journey? How has that been working out for you? And also, you're a researcher. What kind of research are you currently involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question, Gabriel. My professional journey starts after graduation of my PhD at Louisiana State University. I was first working as a research associate. Later on, I transitioned to a research assistant professor there. And at that time, I was working a lot in research on engineered cementitious composites. This is bendable concrete, it's ductile concrete materials, which I find absolutely fascinating. So just let me tell you what leads me to that, because my PhD was on self-heating concrete materials. I was working in this technology to use these chemical microcapsules to repair cracks in conventional concrete. In doing my studies and, of course, the literature review, I came up to the work from the University of Michigan, led by Dr. Victor Lee, this amazing work on these ECC materials, which basically, so what we were trying to deal with in my PhD was, I realized then, it was treating the symptom of the disease, but not the disease itself. And the disease, the symptom are the cracks, but the disease is the low ductility of concrete, which produces this cracking phenomenon. And low tensile strength as well. What they did with this ECC, interestingly enough, is solving that root cause and then really have a much more resilient material. After my graduation, I got every single paper I could read about the topic. I was obsessed with it, honestly. And I started working on research on this. I got some grants from the UTC, University Transportation Center, there at LSU. And then I started my research on it. And later, as I told you, I transitioned to research assistant professor. And then finally, I decided to take an opportunity at the Virginia Transportation Research Council, where I'm at right now, which is basically the research branch of the Virginia. And here, currently, I'm working in research also related to ECCs, but now on a very practical point of view, to try to develop some ECCs or spray application to repair specifically corrugated steel culprits, which is a big problem, not just in Virginia, but honestly, all over the United States. These culprits corrode very rapidly, and then you have a lot of problems. So you could, with these ECCs, build a pipe within a pipe with this spray application and have a very robust repair. So that's one of the things I'm currently working right now here in research. And also I'm working on research related to supplementary cementitious materials, specifically the use of clays, which is something that is, I think there's a lot of interest right now in the world of concrete because of the problems with supply of other SEMs like fly ash or even slag. And I know you're probably very familiar with the work of Professor Karen Scrivener and Franco Sunino. They've done exceptional work with the LC3 systems, LC2. So that's something we're also working on right now, trying to implement these systems in Virginia with the collaboration of also the University of Virginia. We are at the University of Virginia physically, this is the center. And we have a lot of strong collaboration with faculty at the University of Virginia for this project in specific. I don't know if you probably know Professor Osman Osbulut and Lisa Ossie Peterson. So yeah, that's more or less where I'm at right now. How about you, Cameron?
That's so lovely. This is amazing. I want to ask you a question. Actually, it's a technical question about the self-healing concrete. When I learned about it, I was fascinated. I was like, what? Is that possible? You can't do that with concrete? How effective do you find this solution at this point, the process for self-healing concrete? And actually, when do you think it could be adopted by the industry? What is the timeline that we're looking at?
I think that's an excellent question. Certainly, it's a very interesting technology. It's also a difficult technology to implement in some ways. The type of technology we were working in our lab at Louisiana State University, which is a chemical approach, I think that will take a little bit more development because there's several limitations and also related to cost of the manufacturing of these products. But there's some very interesting research in Europe, the University of Delft, by Professor Jonkers, has led this on bacterial concrete. I'm pretty sure you have heard about it. And I think that technology is more mature at this time. If I'm not mistaken, he has a company right now called Basilisk. And I believe they're selling this as an admixture already, and they're testing it in real-world projects. So hopefully we could benefit of this technology sooner. But better than myself, that we civil engineers are in a profession that's extremely conservative. So we really like to take things very methodically, carefully. It's hard to tell. Hopefully we see it within a decade being implemented for the benefit of durability and resiliency of our infrastructure. But yeah, I think that bacterial approach perhaps is one of the most likely to impact the industry.
Very interesting, actually. And you're right. Civil engineering compared to other engineering fields, I feel like it got more inertia in adopting new technologies. And sometimes for good reasons. If you're going to adopt a technology like that, you probably need a bigger project. So the cost could be justified for the project. But that's a lot of capital to risk a new project, the new material for that kind of project. So that's for a good reason, but I cannot wait to see more new technologies being adopted in this field. I cannot wait to see that. I think we are behind and I think we need to move faster to adopt all these technologies. We need that
in this field.
So Gabriel, for me, actually, as soon as I finished my PhD, I was very fortunate to get a job at Titan America, which is a cement and ready mix producer, and I moved to Florida. I lived there for a few years as a quality control manager, and I cannot tell you how much I learned during those years. I would recommend that to anybody who's in the field of concrete and ready mix, right? You've got roots in this industry, and it's a whole different world. I mean, everything that I did during my master's, every research that I did at a school in the concrete, that everything is like controlled and you have everything planned. It's not like that in real world, right? And all these supplies issue, the trucks coming and going, all these big projects that you need to figure out. So I learned a lot. And actually, I was very fortunate to work with some of the best in the industry when I was at Titan America, Dr. Sudak Wang, who has been one of my mentors. And we have been in touch and maintained the friendship. He helped me a lot and I learned a lot. So that's when it started. I think that was the best move that I could do. And that's what happened for me. So I'm very appreciative about that. Then I received the position to go to CTL Group. I always wanted to work at CTL Group. I always heard the name. And I was lucky to receive the job offer. And I moved to Chicago. I worked there for a few years, worked with amazing people there. And again, I learned a lot, right? So I had that experience for the readiness company. Then I moved to this side, worked as a consultant for contractors and owners, and also for the ready mix suppliers, worked there for a few years, gained the experience. And then after living in Florida, because so I lived in Cleveland, it was cold. Then I moved to Iowa, it was also cold. I moved to Florida, it was hot and humid. Then I moved back to Midwest, Chicago, it was cold and windy. And I was like, yeah, probably gonna go back somewhere sunny. So where to go? I decided to go to California. And again, another great company that I've been working for is Atlas Consulting, that I was lucky to move here to California and work with them. Currently, I'm working as a consultant to California Department of Transportation. My position is more of an advisory position as a technical specialist. I help developing the specification if there's any issue going on or any emergency issue coming up, like if there is like a bridge on fire that we recently had, very interesting project actually. So I usually get involved if it has anything to do with the concrete. And it's been an amazing journey so far. I'm just looking forward to see what comes next.
That's very interesting. That's a great journey. Many different excellent places to learn about concrete that you have been. So that's fascinating.
Related industry, but different, basically different sectors. And it's just been amazing to see it from different angles.
Yeah.
I've loved that. Gabriel, ACI is sponsoring this podcast. So I would love to acknowledge ACI, and I wanted to know, how did you get introduced to ACI? How did the membership has been working out for you, and how has it been helping you professional career and also in your academic journey?
Absolutely. How did I get introduced to ACI? Through my family. As I told you, I grew up in a ready-mix concrete company environment. ACI was everywhere. We always have to follow their standards, etc. The first time I went to an ACI convention was actually with my cousin, Jose Fernando, which was an incredible mentor for me. He was the person that was dealing more with the technical aspect of the concrete design and all that in the company. And when I was in my undergrad studies in the United States, he would fly to the US to go to ACI, and he would bring me with him. So I was absolutely fascinated at that time. I'm still fascinated every time I go. But you see all these big names, these amazing people in the world of concrete. And yeah, it was just incredible since that time. And really, I think ACI brings so much to us in so many different aspects, not just in the technical side, but I would say the networking aspects. When you go to the conventions and you get to meet all these phenomenal people, you get to talk about topics that you're both interested in, establish relationships that down the road really help in the work that we do. So yeah, ACI just has been phenomenal. All the specification codes, I cannot speak more highly of it. Coming from a different country, I can tell you that though it is the American Concrete Institute, it feels to me more like the World Concrete Institute, because it really is in many ways. In my country, we use their specifications. So, how about you?
Yeah, actually, no, that's interesting what you just told us, the story. The first time I went to ACI, I was like, are we at the Grammy of concrete? So it was all these big names, as you said. Well, you see those. I was so excited to see all those big names and just going there and say hi. That was my first time. It was amazing. For me, actually, it started when I was doing my undergrad, when I joined the research center. ACI papers, actually, were the only papers that I would read, mostly. There were papers from other journal publications, but ACI was like, it says it, American Concrete Institute, right? You want it to be. And what I loved about it is that the papers that are published at ACI, compared to it's just a rough estimate. I think they're a lot more practical compared to the other ones. So you could see the real world, real time issues, what's going on. And that's why I loved it. So that's how I got familiar with ACI, just by reading papers. At the time, I had no idea that there are conventions going on. There are all these specifications. I knew about the guide and the guidebooks and everything and some of the specs, but I wasn't involved with them at the time. Then I moved to the States and I went to ACI and I just fell in love with it and I just continued going to the ACI. I kept my membership since then. the network that you develop. And I think ACI has given me a lot in my journey, in my professional journey, in my academic journey, giving access to all these on-demand webinars, all these courses, and also the networking, as you said, that's one of the most important aspects of the ACI, and all these people that you meet and the opportunity to go back there and meet them again, right? It's been amazing. So that's really something that I would encourage all the young professionals to find your community and get involved. Just keep going and expand the network and learn more. And as I said that, I really always wanted to give back to the community, to my community, and ACI has become a community. It also creates the opportunity to do that with all those committee meetings that you could go become a member, become an associate member, or become a voting member, so you feel that you are giving back to the community. And also just like this, so let this be also a step in that direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Kamran. I think, yeah, you're right.
So, Gabriel, it seems like our time is about to end. I want to know what's next for you. You are a very highly achieved individual. I'm excited to know what's next for you.
You're being too kind, Kamran. What's next? Certainly, I would like my research to be implemented in the field. And I think in the position I am currently, that will happen. And also continue to engage more and more with ACI. I'm associate member in several committees. Hopefully in the future becoming a voting member and being able to really give back in many ways to ACI. And yeah, expand my research and make sure it's for the benefit of the public and it's implemented. How about you, Kamran? What's next? What's exciting?
So as I said, actually, I've been very fortunate to work with most amazing people that I could ask for, honestly. And I've had several mentors throughout the way, and I would like to acknowledge them, starting with Dr. Norbert Dalat, and then my PhD advisor, Dr. Hallie Jelan, Dr. Peter Taylor, going to Titan at the workplace, Dr. Sudha Khan, and that continued, actually, finding new mentors and working with them, learning from them. So going through all these stages and seeing the industry from different lenses, I feel like for me, it might be the time to make some bold moves. And I feel like there is a need in the industry for a consulting firm. So that will be my next step, I think. I'm thinking about starting a new journey, actually, starting a consulting firm.
Wow, so that's bold. That's amazing. I wish you the best. And you have a lot of experience and knowledge, so I'm sure you will be successful.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I believe right now, especially in this market, there's a lot of opportunity to contribute to the society, honestly. So that's the thing. It aligns with my visions, the visions that I've had from the beginning, and also a vision that provides opportunity for those seeking growth. So that's what I'm trying to do.
That's very nice. And I think it's great that you acknowledge all that important people in your life, the mentors. Yeah, and I'm also extremely grateful. Some of my mentors I did mention throughout this conversation, but yeah, there's many others that certainly I'm extremely grateful. I think having mentors is an extremely important part of success.
No doubt about it. Cannot argue with that. Absolutely. Gabriel, any last words for our young professionals?
Sure. I think I would say get engaged with ACI. Go to conventions, speak to people. I think when you establish collaboration with people, you can achieve incredible things. I would say be kind to people. That's an extremely important thing in anything that you do. And yeah, be happy. That's what I would say.
I love that. Yes, be kind and get engaged. I agree with that. I would add to that, take risks as well. I believe that without taking risks, the very meaning of life is violated. So don't be afraid to take risks to get where you want, to get what you want, and also find yourself a mentor, right? As we discussed, it's been amazing for me having all these mentors and how much I learned from them. Otherwise, I know you had roots in the industry. I had no one from the being part of civil engineering industry. So it was very amazing and great. And I'm very grateful for the mentors that I've had. So definitely, yes. Get a mentor in your journey and take risks, be kind, and live the life.
I think we're both in agreement with that one. So, yeah, it was really nice talking to you, Kamran. And yes, thanks again for joining us to the audience. Thanks to everyone for listening to this month's episode of Engineering Greatness. Join us each month as ACI brings together pairs of young professionals in the concrete industry to engage in intimate conversations about their life and work. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And for more information on the American Concrete Institute, visit us online at concrete.org. We'll see you next time.